You have notes this morning, and I want to go through these notes. And I gave you the notes in particular to help us to maybe not have to focus on writing so much, hopefully, but that we could focus on what the Holy Spirit is saying. I've said it before, I say it again, I mean it completely and thoroughly. You're better off hearing one thing from God this morning than anything I would ever say. Just one thing that he would speak to you this morning, through the worship, through the communion, through the offering, through the message, whatever it is, that we would learn to be a people that can relax and hear his voice. Jonathan said this morning about a new perspective, a break off of old mindsets, and that he wants to not let the enemy have power back in our lives, and I would agree with that. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever thought, maybe pondered, meditated on, given some thought to and time to, have you ever thought about what life without sin would be like? I mean, just to sit back, I know it's hard because we've never known that. But if you sometimes just sit back and you think, you know, nobody's mad, nobody's saying hurtful things to you, there's no more abuse, there's no more pain, there's no more sorrow, starting to sound like heaven, isn't it? You know, just to stop and ponder, what would it be like in your life without sin? Have you ever thought about how it would be if there had never been sin in the world? There was no sin around you in your own life or in anybody else's life. To just sit back and begin to ponder and meditate, and I think sometimes just dream a little. God gave you the ability to dream and to see things in our apparent sleep that we don't see otherwise. And some people have lots of dreams. There were lots of dreams and visions in the Bible that begin to expound upon the heart and the mind and the thinking and the process and the whole things of God. Now, we do pretty well till we really get to the book of Revelation, that it gets a little bit rough there. But we will understand it someday. But God speaks through dreams and visions. He speaks through the prophetic. He speaks through, obviously, you know, the plumb line would be right here, that everything is plumb lined according to this that we dream, you know, envision, speak about, see ahead of time, that type of thing. It all has to be along that plumb line. But yet, sometimes we need to just sit back and think, you know, what would it be like, you know? What is God planning? What's he doing? And so I want to talk a little bit about the masterpiece this morning. We've talked about the master plan a fair amount the last few weeks, and I want to talk about the masterpiece. Could you pull up the first slide where we have our verse? We've got two verses that we've been building on. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, talking really about the master plan. It says, for everything, absolutely everything above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and can find its purpose in him. And we've talked about making sure that we're connected with that. The next one, please. And then we've come to this one here, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, and there's different translations for this, but if you look at it and read it and you take it as a whole, you can see that this is a very accurate, actually a very poetic, beautiful way to put it. For we are God's what? Say it with me. Masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. So there's this amazing plan that he has for you. But it's in the process, it's making you a masterpiece. It's making you who he created you to be originally, but sin marred, but Christ redeemed us and saved us from that. And it may seem a little odd, maybe might even feel a little bit appropriate. Should we say, are we supposed to think well of who we are? Am I supposed to really think that I'm really good? And there's been varying opinions. You know, I've been a Christian long enough to see it go both ways. You know, first, you know, the one group says, oh, you're nothing but a worm. Okay. How many have heard that? I teach you this. It's out there. You're nothing but a worm. You're just an old sinner. And saved by grace. And when they go down that track. And then the other one is that, you know, that you are his masterpiece. You're the best of his creation is right here in these pews. And who you are is amazing. And you're actually his sons and daughters. Even before you're saved, you're his sons and daughters. We have to understand that. They're out there unsaved, his sons and daughters. He's wanting to call them in. He's wanting to use us to do that. Some would say they're pre-saved. We know one thing for sure. He sent Jesus because he loved the whole world, and he died for the whole world. We know that does not mean that the whole world will be saved, because the step is to receive, as I mentioned earlier, that step of faith to receive him and say yes with his faith and yes about him. And we know that. And so we come into this, sometimes it feels a little bit awkward, and we might consider it almost a prideful thing to say how great we are. Will you tell your neighbor that you're really great? Now tell the other one, you're really great. You're really great. You are great. You're a masterpiece. And sometimes it can feel a little bit awkward, but I want to shake the awkwardness off of that, because we really are great. And I want to just show us in Scripture in a few places where it talks about this, because I believe that, I don't want to jump ahead of myself here this morning, but while it's true that we were born into sin and we needed God to rescue us, it's also true that we're splendid humans who bear God's image and likeness and can radiate his beauty to all of the world. Again, trees bring, wow, God, you're great. Sun sets, sun rises, do the same thing, but not like we can do it. And I read this in a book. It says, many of us are concerned about dishonoring God by thinking too highly of ourselves. And they get this from the Romans scripture that's Romans 12:3. It should be up there. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God dealt to each one a measure of faith. And so we take that one sometimes and we think, wow, it's just maybe we're thinking too highly of ourselves. And certainly that's possible. I mean, we've probably known people like that. But sometimes we can let that begin to sway us away from what God's original intent is, because I think it's also just as possible to dishonor God by dishonoring how he created you. In other words, by calling yourself the worm, by calling yourself just an old sinner saved by grace, and we sort of understand those terms, but really, if we're going to technically get where he wants us to be, we have to have the right understanding, because everything is predicated on truth. Not the way I feel about things, but on truth. And I want to show us this morning that you're not a worm anymore, and you're not related to a worm anymore. And I've never seen a butterfly turn back into a caterpillar in my life. And I even asked Siri this morning, and she said, no, it can't happen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just doesn't happen. So he made us into this beautiful thing. He wants us to see that. He wants us to understand that. Because if we don't see that and we don't understand that, guess what? You will never walk it out. You will fight all your life against things that Jesus already completely dealt with for you on the cross. Man, how many need to get rid of a little bit of stress about life? Some of it is simply based on what we think. And then the enemy loves to play on that. So Ephesians, again, chapter 2, verse 10, based on not dishonoring God, says himself, we are God's masterpiece, that he created anew in Christ Jesus, not a used, anew, okay? He created you anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things planned for us long ago. So you're God's masterpiece. Let's just look at a verse that we're very familiar with. To show us how important it is for us to think of ourselves as a masterpiece. Scripture in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says this, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Or another translation says, For as he calculates in his soul, so is he. So in other words, how I process life, how I think about life, how I think about myself is going to impact the way that I actually am. The word word there is a very aggressive word. The word thinks is very aggressive. It means to split open, to reason out, to calculate, to reckon, to estimate. Determine who are you in Christ? Who are you? Who are we? You know, are we just a bunch of people struggling to make it? Or is there more? Is there greater? Is there better? Can we go further? Somebody needs to smile and say amen. We can do it, right? Come on, I mean, because we really, if I'm not thinking this way according to this, I'm not going to go that way. And I'm going to end up struggling through life as a nice Christian the rest of my life. Only to find out I might have missed something. Might have missed the joy of my salvation. Because I got out of the adventure of allowing him to do what he already has done for me. So am I thinking right about not only who God is, as we've already gone through, but what about me? Am I thinking right about me? I think it's critical that we catch this morning, that we catch something in our spirit. I want to show you something in just a second that I hope really resonates with your heart to completely transform and change the way that we've been thinking about so many things. So often we look at ourselves and we can kind of like look at God and really marvel and say, wow, he's fabulous. And we did that for 3 weeks in the scriptures. And we thought we'd think about all the sun, the moon, the stars, everything he's done. That's awesome and that's great. But then you stop and ask somebody to look at themselves. And all of a sudden it's like, we're back to that worm mentality. We're back to that, I'm no good. Sometimes because really we go out and disobey God. Let's just be honest. Let's be transformed. I mean, the enemy uses guilt and all of these things against us, but sometimes we walk into those things. It doesn't change you back to a caterpillar, though. Right? So what do I need to do in that case? Not sulk for 2 or 3 weeks or months or years, but I need to stand up and take what the Word of God says and get that back into my thinking and back into my life so that I can overcome. Sometimes I think we just fight the battle the wrong way, and we can't overcome these things because we're fighting it the wrong way, and we're not getting the understanding of it. Matthew chapter, we look at often our struggles as if we're still under the law. Matthew 5:17, don't think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, since, you know, the Ten Commandments are still valid. Okay? He's never going to allow adultery. He's never going to allow stealing. Can I get a couple amens on a few of those? I mean, they're pretty clear. He's never going to allow that. He didn't say I come to destroy those things, but what did he do? He fulfilled them. I came to fulfill them. You don't have to try. You can't anyway. You couldn't have. So I went and did it for you. So I could do what? I could put you back in the state and the condition that you were in the garden before sin came in. Come on, let's just get excited about this. I mean, this is an awesome thing that he can, and it was a gift to you. And it's so clear over and over, isn't it? It's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift. Everything I did was a gift for you. I love you. I love birthdays. I love giving gifts. I think Al has a birthday today, right? Come on, let's sing happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to you. Come on, help me out here. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Al. He's going to kill me. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Let's give him a hand. My point about that scripture and about how we think, okay? The whole thing that you and I seem to do, we base upon the law. It just seems to be right there. And I'll tell you who's hanging it right there. But really, isn't it based on the image and the likeness of God that we bear once we become born again? So all of a sudden now, I'm not trying to fight something that I can't do anything about, but I'm walking into something that's been already freely given to me. And that's what? The image and likeness of God. Wow. Do you realize if you 100% believe that, you might never sin again? Help me, Jesus. All right, 2 Corinthians. I'm going to convince you before this meeting's over about yourself, because this is critical, and I'm going to show you something that I just saw that I think is amazing. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Wow. What an amazing truth. But look at this here. The word see or behold, some of your translations say a behold Him. Look at what that means. It means to show in a mirror, to make, to reflect, to look at oneself in the mirror, to behold oneself in a mirror. Now, I've kind of always looked at that, okay, as if I was looking at God. But is that what it says? It says, no, I'm looking in a mirror. A person's not in the mirror, correct? Come on, work with me here. You got to catch this. A person's not in the mirror, but what's in the mirror is a reflection of who you are. And when I look at His mirror, I begin to see who I am in Christ. And all of a sudden, it's, yeah, that's who I am. He reminds me, this is who you are. You're looking at the wrong mirror if you're looking in the world. If you're looking for other people to give it to you, you're looking in the wrong places. No wonder we can't capture what He's after. We go from glory to glory as we look into His mirror. And that mirror is, who are you? Who are you? Are you a son, a daughter? Are you a masterpiece? Because if you really believe that, and you really convince your own mind of this, all of a sudden, guess what? You're going to be walking that out. You're going to be able to see, wow, that's right. And maybe we just need to look up a little bit more into that mirror. Maybe we just need to look up a little bit more and say, God, show me who I am this morning. Because I'm feeling weak about it. I'm feeling weak about it this morning, but show me who I am. So that I can do what? I can walk it out. I can meditate on it. I can think about it. And I can be changed, because that's who you really are, is what you see in His mirror. You're not what you feel. You're not what somebody else has told you. You're not what you've done yourself. You're who He says you are. Come on, Lord. Come on. I want you to really meditate on that. I think it'll begin to transform you, because that's really the truth. I'm going to look in that mirror, and God's going to show me who He is. Because guess what? Jesus said He came to do what? To glorify God. So we are His glory also. So when I look there, I can see His glory in me. Is anybody a little bit more excited about that than me? I'm just going to tell you, I shared it with a Baptist friend of mine this morning, and they got goosebumps over it. Just the thought of it. I'm serious, I did. It was kind of funny. I went to Robex. Okay, they're Christian owners, so if you like fruit juices, they're really good. Good to support. She actually gave our kids, not our kids, our great young men, Tyler and Jonathan, lessons when they were kids, piano lessons. And of course, I went in there this morning. It was just a bad day for us trying to start this morning. I just think the devil was against everything. I went in there. I ordered a fruit smoothie. I got it. When I get in there, she says, oh, guess what? Your son, Jonathan, that's why it's not good to know the people you go to. Your son, Jonathan, used his credit card here the other day, and we were busy, and he left, and it didn't go through. I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to say? I want mine, too. So I said, okay, I'll just pay for it. That's on record so that he'll pay me back, okay? So I pay for it, pay for mine, pay for his. I get here in the parking lot, and sure enough, I drop mine right on the sidewalk. Boom, broke open, plastic cup. So I'm just was suffering a little bit this morning. But I fought through. I had to go clean it off the sidewalk so nobody would slip and fall, kill themselves. It was ice by the time I got there. But I did it faithfully, and But it's just one of these things that I think as I meditate on that and I think about that, I think, God, that's right. You've given us so much to see who we are. And in that same verse, and I put it in the New King James in this next verse, it says, so all of us who have tried, who have had that veil removed, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. I guess I've known it, but I've never tied it together. If you want to know who you're like, you're magnificent. You're excellent. You're preeminence. You have dignity. You have grace in your life. That's what He's made you to have and to be. And I think, wow, what if I woke up every day realizing that this truth was there? And again, it's not about getting prideful, which I'm sure people could. It's more than that. It's about letting Him transform you into His image. I didn't come up with this, and I unfortunately didn't write down who did, but it says, next to the knowledge of God, a knowledge of who we are is by far the most important truth that we can possess. Wow. And this is where we're going, from master plan to masterpiece. He wants you to know this morning how precious, how magnificent, how awesome you are. He wants you to wake up tomorrow morning. He wants you to look into the mirror and allow that glory that He's put within you to come clear to you so that you'll walk out of that place with your head high. You'll walk out of that place with a determination that I'm going to be everything He made me to be, because He's given me the ability to see that picture like never before. Let me just read a couple of verses as we close this morning. The Psalms chapter 104 verse 31, it says, may the glory of the Lord continue forever. The Lord takes pleasure in all that He has made. He made you. You're not the maker. God delights in Psalms 19:1, God delights in His creation as an expression. Listen to this. The heavens proclaim what? The glory of God. And you are who He's proclaiming. Let me just read this, Psalms 139. It may be on your notes, I'm not sure. Psalms 139, verses 13 to 18. It says, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. David rehearsed this against all the odds that came against him. Remember, he was a rejected son. He was the one that the father sent to the sheepfold. He was the one that didn't get called when the prophet was looking for a king. He was the one that was rejected. He was the one that was just ridiculed by his family. And all these things took place with him. And now he comes and he says, God, I know what the natural people have told me. I know what life has tried to throw my way. But I just know that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knows this very well. My frame was not hidden from you. And when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance yet being unformed. And in your book, they were all written and the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts of me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Wow. They'd be more in number than the sand. Imagine that. And when I am awake, I am still with you. Wow. Isn't that an amazing portion of Scripture? Oh, my word. I mean, He just lays it on the line for you, how much He loves you, and He made you, and He put you together, and He wouldn't want anybody or let anybody mess that up. Right. And He's there for you, and you can wake up every morning and know that. Amen. Psalm 139, that we just read, verse 14, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Just look at these definitions and let them absorb in just a little bit. Wonderfully means to be distinct. Marked out, separated, to be distinguished. I've made you wonderful. I made you marked out. I made you in this way. And the word marvelous means to be wonderful, to be surpassing, to be extraordinary. Your Father is telling you that's how he made you. And whatever has robbed you of this, whatever has stolen that from you today, he wants to erase it with his glorious presence and with his love and with his goodness. He wants to erase that. Because as a man thinks in his heart, what? So he is. Some of us have struggled with things for years. We just haven't been able to quite jump and hurdle those things. For years. Decades in some cases. And we just wonder, God, will that ever change? Or can I ever change? Will I still be that person? He's here to tell you this morning, no. Enemy thus far and no more. The truth is exposed about you. You are fearfully, wonderfully made. You're extraordinary in your makeup. You're beautiful to him. And in Psalms 139, verse 17, it says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. The word precious there. Look at this here. This is what he said about you. How precious are you also. It means to be esteemed, to be prized, to be valuable, to be costly, and to make something precious. You're not just ordinary. You're not just so-so. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where your life's at right now. If you will catch a vision for the way he made you and what Jesus Christ did for you, you will be completely transformed. We aren't waiting until we get to heaven. I'm not going to. Come on, he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle, right? I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that, and that's part of what he's doing. Maybe more important than anything else is I'm going to build a bride for my son. How many know that becomes pretty important? That becomes a priority, doesn't it? We've made other things a priority in Christianity, but that's the priority. That's why we spend time in worship. Because in his presence, there's amazing transformation that I can't work for. Sing, come on, really? I get to enjoy singing. Most everybody does. Not everybody, but most everybody does. I do something that enjoyable, Lord, and you just somehow inhabit that. And in the process, I'm brought back into perspective and view that you have for me, that I am. And David, remember David, he wrote Psalms. They're all songs. He wrote this in a song to sing a love song to us. And he's put us in this place now. How do we receive it? Would you stand to your feet with me, please?